For those of you that are visiting here today because your mom is here, thank you for coming. Thank you for honoring her and being here in this place together. I see some faces I don't normally see, and so I'm glad that you could be here today to celebrate with us and celebrate your mom. I want to tell you that it is a great thing to honor moms, but I'm also very much aware that a lot of us don't have our moms anymore. Others, our experience with our moms was maybe a little erratic, but we have dads and uncles and aunts and all of that, and we sort of all wrapped out all together today to celebrate these people that love us. And that's why I've chosen today to focus on love. Now, in all my life, I have my we have a son who lives in Nashville, love him dearly. Son who lives in St. Augustine, love him and his family. And Wilson's here today and love him too. But can there be anything that you love any more than your grandbaby, your first grandbaby? Yeah, that's him right there. You see his picture? Yeah, right there on the screen. Yeah, that's Harvey. I never knew anything could smell so good as your first grandbaby, you know? And to celebrate being a granddad is really a special thing. They don't have Granddad's Day. I don't know. I guess it's because we love them so much we just would implode or something if we ever celebrated it. But that's Harvey. I'm reminded in this theme of love about Mrs. Perkins' fifth grade class. She was holding a Scholastic Olympics. She wanted to stretch their kids a bit and ask them to pick one single sentence to tell the author and tell where the sentence appeared, and standing in front of the class, show originality in explaining why his or her choice should be considered to be the greatest sentence ever written. And most of the sentences chosen were famous ones like, you know, 67 years ago. Some came from literature like to be or not to be, that is the question. One child won points for knowing that it was William Shakespeare and who wrote it, but lost points when she said that the author probably was a writer for Walt Disney. There were 14 instances of, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, mainly because the class knew that that was Mrs. Perkins' favorite sentence. But the winning sentence was not by a famous author. It was written by a girl's new stepfather. It had been written not in a published book, but on a postcard that the girl had received that very week. And while this man and her mother were on honeymoon in Hawaii, she got this card. Now, what made it so special? What made the sentence so special? She told the class that until she had received the postcard, she had never known for sure what her new stepfather really thought about her. On the postcard from Waikiki Beach, he had inscribed simply, "Charlotte, I love you." Love. It's such a deceivingly simple word. And yet those four letters point to the most important emotion and force in life, as necessary for our well-being as oxygen and water. One of the greatest poetic expressions of the meaning of love can be found in our scripture today, the 13th chapter of Corinthians. Now, one summer while riding across Georgia, I came to a covered bridge. And there's not a lot of covered bridges in South, in the South states. But there was one in Georgia, and I really looked forward to seeing it that day. And I came up to it, and right on the side of it, little tiny opening, only big enough for one car to go through, there was a yield sign. I thought that's okay. Because, you know, there was nobody else around. I just stopped for a second, went right on through. But then I went on to the other side and decided I needed to get a picture, and the sun was better from that side. So I got off the bike, turned around, and there was the other entrance to the covered bridge, and it had a yield sign. Now, I had in my mind this idea of two cars coming up at the same time and neither one being able to go because they're supposed to yield to the other side. I thought it was maybe a great way to, you know, keep from having a terrible accident on a little tiny, narrow, and dangerous bridge. But the idea of yielding is important, isn't it? To yielding to someone else, because today is Mother's Day, a day we set aside to honor mothers and express our love and appreciation for them. No one ever said that it was an easy job. There has never been an award given away for it, like an Oscar for being a good mom. And it's a big sacrifice, a big yielding of your life for the benefit of another. Paul describes love as a powerful yielding sign in our relationships. He writes, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not insist on its own way. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Paul sees love as a commitment freely focused on others on others' needs rather than coming out of our needs and our wants. Love does not insist on its own way, Paul writes. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the right. Kathy Slattery tells of a time when a friend had phoned to tell her that she got a great new promotion. Now, the friend said that she and her family would be able to move into that big house that they'd always dreamed about. She hung up the phone, and Kathy, as she hung up the phone, she thought to herself, ugh, great. She had an unhappy look on her face. She was twisted up by envy. She pretended to congratulate her friend, but in her stomach was a turning feeling. Her feelings depressed with the sense that her friend's gain was somehow her loss. And she sat there by the phone thinking of her friends who seemed to have so much more than she and her husband had. The power of envy was eating away at her inside. And at that moment, her daughter, Katie, who had just turned 3 years old, came charging down the hall towards her, clutching the game Candyland. Y'all remember Candyland? Yeah, what's the other one? Thank you, Chutes and Ladders, yeah. Did they sell them in the same box? Because I can't remember. No, we all had them, that's for sure. Candyland was under her arm, a gift from a recent birthday party. Mommy, Mommy, let's play. So sighing, she sat down with Katie to play Candyland. And little Katie went first, but soon the cards that her mother drew put her into a commanding lead. And while Katie wound up stuck in molasses swamp, at that point, Kathy, not wanting to disappoint her daughter or have her daughter lose, started to cheat a little bit and skip a turn or move her piece less spaces than the cards called for. But little Katie caught on to this, and she said, Mommy, Mommy, you forgot to move. You've got to move so you can get to Candy Castle. All too soon, the game was over, and the mother had won. And before she could say she was sorry or try to comfort her daughter for losing, Katie cried out, Oh, Mommy, you did it. You did it. You got to the Candy Castle. And she lunged across the board and gave her mother a big hug. Yeah, Kathy thought about it. And what her daughter had said, not, you won or I lost, but you made it. And at her young age, Katie had little control over winning or losing. Her instinctive response to her mother's good fortune was not envy or disappointment or a sense of loss. It was just pure joy. Just joy. It was love as free giving and enjoyment. It was what Paul was talking about. It was perhaps what Jesus meant when he said that we are to be like little children in order to enter the kingdom of God. And then Kathy started to think about her own life, not in comparing herself with others, but with all the gifts of life and family and security and love that she did have. She went back to the phone to call her friend, and this time she let her know how really happy that she was for her. That is 1 Corinthians 13. Love can only be described in poetic images. It is too powerful for anything else. Love as poetry, as song, comes to us in books and music from all around us, but it is one thing to describe it. It is a completely different matter to actually put that poetry into practice. There's this old story of a busy businessman whose wife was experiencing a severe depression. It got so bad that he did the logical thing. He booked an appointment with a counselor. And on the appointed time, they went into the counselor's office, sat down with him, and began to talk. And it wasn't long before the counselor figured out what was wrong. So without saying a word, he stood up, walked over to the woman, took her by her hands, looked her in the eyes for a long moment, and then gathered her into her arms and gave his arms and gave her a big hug. Immediately, her face began to change. Her mouth relaxed, her eyes lit up, her face glowed. Stepping back, the counselor said to the husband, "See, that's all that she needs." And with that, the man said, "Okay, I can have her on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I play golf on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday." He did not get the message. But love is meant to be practiced in concrete ways, and some of it simply by touching. Studies continue to show the incredible power of touch. A hug, a simple touch on the shoulder or arm actually increases the amount of hemoglobin in the blood, which in turn increases the amount of oxygen carried through the body. It has a real effect. A group of four through eight-year-olds were asked, what does love mean? And listen to their answers. They can be everything from amusing to profound. The first one said, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. Yeah. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of them. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. I love this one. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore, so my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis. That's love. Yeah. Love's when you tell someone something bad about yourself and you're scared that they won't love you anymore, but then you get surprised because not only do they still love you, but they love you even more. Love is so many things. And today we recognize special people who are defined by love. So what is love? It is silence when your words would hurt. It is patience when your neighbors curt. It's deafness when a scandal flows. It is thoughtfulness for another's woes. It is promptness when stern duty calls. It is courage when misfortune falls. Love never gives, forgives, outlives, and ever stands with open arms. And while it lives, love gives. For this is love's prerogative. To give and give and give. Jesus understood this. Jesus put his arms around everyone. With Jesus, no one was outside. Everybody was somebody just because they were human beings. Well, love is communicated by a touch, but it's also communicated by other concrete acts of caring. Years ago, Nobel Peace Prize winner Dr. Albert Schweitzer was in Chicago on a trip, and a group of reporters cornered him on a railroad platform for an interview. And while he was talking to them, he looked over and noticed an older lady pulling a big heavy suitcase. And so he stopped and went over and picked up the suitcase and carried it to the carriage where she was going and put it in for her, and then came back. All the reporters were gone. They'd all gone to find little old ladies who were carrying heavy bags. See, love is expressed and built in very ordinary but concrete ways. And our actions and our practice of love has a multiplying effect on other people. Like ripples in a pond, when you toss a stone into it, it will reverberate back to shore, in and out, again to the shore. Love multiplies, it amplifies our love. And this happens only when it is put into practice. You see, love is a wonderful noun, but it's a far better verb. So on this Mother's Day, I'd like to offer this following piece as my present to you mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and grandparents who are here. The writer's art unknown, and it is simply titled, If. I think if I could have this embroidered and put it on my wall, I would read it every day. If I had a child to raise all over again, I'd build self-esteem first and the house later. I'd finger paint more and point the finger less. I would do less correcting and more connecting. I'd take my eyes off my watch and watch with my eyes. I would care to know less and know to care more. I'd take more hikes and fly more kites. I'd stop playing seriously and seriously play. I would run through more fields and gaze at more stars. I'd do more hugging and less tugging. I'd see the oak tree in the acorn more often. I would be firm less often and affirm much more. I'd model less about the love of power and more about the power of love. We can love deeply and freely if we ourselves have experienced and share in the practice of love in our lives. God's love for us is poetic in its power, and it is practiced in down-to-earth concrete ways. Jesus' death on the cross drives home both the poetry and the practice of God's love for you and for me. And it gives us both a model and the ability to love, to put that love into our own relationships, and make our faith come alive. Love, such a simple word, and yet it is life itself. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that we have experienced love, for wherever we turn, your love is there for us, that we can tap into that and share that in concrete ways with others is such a wonderful privilege. We don't have to wonder, because we have experienced it with you. So open our eyes to that. Open our ears and our hearts and our minds and everything that we are. Allow that love to flow into us and out of us into others. Let us be conduits of it, not containers of it. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.